Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be in your presence on the auspicious occasion of the Mahagaur Purnima festival in Laguna Beach. During the intermission, I mentioned to Tukaram Prabhu that today was the anniversary of the disappearance of one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, His Holiness Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. And I felt moved to speak about him. His Holiness Indradumya Swami always says that it's important for us to glorify these departed Vaishnavas so that their memory and legacy remain alive. But there are also many important lessons to be learned from the life of His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj that we can apply in our own devotional service and also in our appreciation of Srila Prabhupada and the Panchatattva. Once I was taking a flight to Dallas, and a fellow came up to me, seeing my dress, and said, are you from the Hare Krishna movement? I said, yes. I had a good friend who was in the Hare Krishna movement. I don't know his name in the movement, but his name was John Kolklu. Did you know him? I said, yes, I knew him very well. We were very good friends. And then he started to tell me about Sridhar Swami's early life from when he knew him. He was a very, in a way, we're enjoined in the scripture not to discuss a devotee's previous life, especially sannyasi's previous life. But I'm going to do so because it illustrates, you know, the power of devotional service and Srila Prabhupada and the Panchatattva's mercy. So, he was a very rough and tumble person. And as his friend said, and the friend was part of the same group, on Saturday nights they would basically get drunk and go into town and look for a fight. And they would end up finding fights. And that's how they passed their Saturday nights. So, you know, some years later, Sridhar Swami, of course he was not Sridhar Swami then, but he came to Berkeley and he saw the devotees and they had a book table with not only books but, you know, posters, incense and different items. So he started talking to the devotee and he's a little, maybe, I don't know, arrogant or something. He said, who's that? It's a picture of Krishna. The devotee said, that's God, that's Krishna. He said, oh, that's God. Well, what would you do if I tore that picture into pieces? And the devotee said, I think I'd have to kill you. And that clicked. Sridhar Swami thought, okay, these are my kind of people. I can fit in here. So, Anyway, eventually he came to India, which is where he and I met in Bombay. And he had a sort of a husky build. And this is the early days of the Juhu Project. And, you know, maybe seeing his psychophysical characteristics, Srila Prabhupada wanted to put him in charge of the construction materials to make sure, you know, nothing was stolen, nothing went amiss. And I was the temple president, so I informed Sridhar Swami. And he said, no, I want to preach. I said, wow, okay. So I went back and I informed Srila Prabhupada. And Sridhar Swami hadn't shown himself as a preacher yet. So a little awkward. I was going back and forth, and then finally Prabhupada said, okay. He doesn't have to look after the construction materials. And Sridhar Swami actually distinguished himself as an excellent preacher. He became a very strong preacher. And one lesson I'm getting from this is, even though it might not have been his psychophysical nature, but because he had that desire to preach, and he set himself to do it, he excelled in it. Some years later, he came to Pakistan. I would, from Bombay, I would go to Pakistan and preach, and we had, you know, very good response there. Of course, the government was very vigilant. And they allowed us to preach to the Hindus, but they definitely didn't want us to proselytize among the Muslims. Although on occasion we did do some things. So Sridhar Swami, he learned to give a short talk in Hindi, which is very similar to Urdu. He adjusted it. And the people loved it. They loved hearing this, you know, Canadian sannyasi deliver a discourse in Urdu. And they liked it so much they wanted him to do it again the next night. But the thing is, he'd only memorized one little talk. I think he just gave the same talk again, and it's ever fresh, you know. But yeah, he's really, really a great person. So, coming back to Juhu, it was definitely, I think, Srila Prabhupada's main struggle in his preaching mission. There was a lot of opposition. But at one stage, it was like this. We had it was meant to be a semi-permanent temple for the deities, for Sri Radharasa Bihari. And then this clique, Prabhupada called it a clique of enemies, they arranged to have the temple demolished. They almost succeeded in demolishing it completely. That was very interesting. But anyway, the order came to stop the demolition just before they had just started to take out some pieces of the roof above the deities. And, you know, meanwhile, the rest of us, we were... we tried to intervene, and so the police were there to to support the municipal demolition, and so they took us all to the police station. But anyway, it was like this, that we had to rebuild the temple. This Mrs. Nyer, she was like the owner of the land. So she had a petition in court to prevent us from rebuilding it. And the judge said that he wouldn't grant even a temporary injunction without hearing us. And the earliest he could hear us would be Monday morning. So we had the weekend to rebuild the temple, because once it was rebuilt, then it was already done. So we stayed up all night. We had another... He was a supporter, Mr. P.L. Seti. He had a real Kshatriya side to him. He's a great soul, Srila Prabhupada attracted. And what was so amazing is Prabhupada could reciprocate with everyone, you know, no matter what their nature was. So he reciprocated perfectly with Mr. Seti, who had this Kshatriya side. So the enemies came, you know, to warn us not to rebuild the temple. And one of the leaders was Pushpakant Matri, who was the local municipal councillor. So he said, anyway, I'm telling you not to rebuild it, but if you do, I'm going to come with 50 gundas. Gundas like Hindi for like a hoodlum or a gunda. And we're going to, we'll just break it down. Now, Mr. Seti said, Brij Mohan, that was his son, Brij Mohan, bring my revolver and my rifle. And then he said, how many cartridges? He had 250 cartridges. So he told Matre, 50 is not enough. Bring 100. Bring 200. Bring 250. I'll kill them all. So it was a big thing. And we had to stay up. We were staying up all night. It was really raining, like anything. And Sridhar Swami, who really liked a good fight, he was sitting in one of our jeeps. For a long time, we didn't have any of our own motor vehicles. Then we got some jeeps. And he was sitting in the jeep with a stick, I think, and a japa mala. And so... Brij Mohan Seti went over to him and he said, Maharaj, what are you doing in the jeep? I mean, he was there to protect the reconstruction of the temple. He said, I'm here in case the gundas come, I can make a quick escape. He was very humorous. In fact, two of our life members who gave him the nickname the Jolly Swami, and he really was the Jolly Swami. So we rebuilt the temple. So many incidents. But now I'll come towards the end, because we're reading about how, or singing, how a devotee is not afraid of death. And that was really the case with His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj. So he, and he was always jolly. It was incredible. Once he came to L.A., and I went down to meet him, and in my presence, someone asked him, you know, about his health. It was very precarious. He had hepatitis C and cirrhosis of the liver. It was not a good prognosis. And so Maharaj replied, well, I lived through last night, and if you want to know about tonight, ask me tomorrow morning. So, anyway, he came to Canada. He was hoping to get a liver transplant, which was his only hope. But it turned out that he had cancer and it had spread. And so he wasn't considered eligible for a liver transplant because his case was already beyond that stage. So he decided he wanted to return to India. He had three desires. And I would speak to him on the phone almost. I tried to speak to him on the phone every day, almost every day. One was he wanted to make it to Mayapur. Second was he wanted to see the installation of the Panchatattva. That was the year. Yeah, and then he said, and then whatever, meaning whatever Krishna desires. So he took a flight to London, and Maharaj's sister, very nice lady, Fiona, she phoned into Dhunuswami and said, you know, my brother wants to go to India, and the doctors say he won't survive the journey. So if anything happens, I want you to be there with him. So Indradumna Swami went to London, met up with him in London. He rented a hotel room right near the airport. And many of Sridhar Swami's disciples, there are quite a few in Croatia and Slovenia, they came. Thinking, or knowing that this could be the last time they would see him. And, so they were, you know, very sad, but, you know, Maharaj was very philosophical, and he said that, you know, even though I won't be with you physically, it seems that he used to play soccer with them. He said, even though I won't be with you physically, you could take my picture when you play soccer. Which was a very sort of bittersweet moment. And then I think there were five of them who hadn't gotten second initiation. You know, in our parampara, that one is first initiated into the chanting of the holy name, Harinam. And then generally, after some time of proving oneself to be steady in chanting the holy name, chanting one's prescribed rounds and following the regulative principles, one is offered a second initiation into the Gayatri Mantra, a Brahminical initiation. So Maharaj said, okay, I'll give you all Gayatri, but all together, because he's very weak. And not only very weak, but his brain wasn't working completely properly because the liver wasn't processing the toxins, so the toxins were going to his brain. And then on top of it, he had, he was taking some medication for the pain, and I think that was also, so he couldn't remember the words to the Gayatri Mantra. So he said, are there any Brahmins in the house who know the words? So, not sure exactly why, but they told the words to Indradumna Swami. Indradumna Swami repeated them to Sridhar Swami, and Sridhar Swami repeated them to the new initiates. And then Then he said that actually the real thing is chanting the holy name. You know, the Gayatri Mantra is a sort of support for chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but the real thing is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then one after the other, he quoted all these verses about chanting Hare Krishna. Well, Kirtanareva Krishnasya, probably Harinam, I don't remember all. He quoted several. Nirjadumi Swami said, Maharaj, how is this possible? You couldn't remember the words to the Gayatri Mantra, but you're quoting, you know, perfectly all these verses, mainly from Srimad Bhagavatam, about the holy name. And he said, yes, because the holy name is the real thing. So, anyways, he's such a funny person. While he was at the hotel in the airport, because there was I had a disciple who lived near the airport, an Indian couple. So he said, "I want pancakes," and he said, "But I don't want those Indian pancakes, those thin, salty things. You know, I want real pancakes with maple syrup." So, yeah, he maintained his jolly nature and his good appetite. So he, accompanied by Indradumi Swami, proceeded to Calcutta. And Jayapataka Swami Maharaj sent his vehicle that had a bed in it. So Maharaj lay down in the bed, came to Mayapur, and he was accorded a real hero's welcome. I mean, it was amazing. It was kirtan, and everyone was waiting at the gate for him. And then he came to the temple for darshan. And he's also very careful because one of his god brothers said, this is so auspicious that you've come. He said, yeah, but it's not auspicious for you because you have your feet facing the deities. So he really, that's also mercy to correct someone who's in error. He survived. He made it to Mayapur. That was his first desire. And he made it to the installation of the Panchatattva. He actually went up on the stage, the platform, and to do the Abhishek of the Panchatattva. And they asked him if he wanted to do Lord Chaitanya. No, I'll do Lord Nityananda. So his second desire was fulfilled. But after that, his health seemed to take a decline. Maybe like too much excitement, too much exertion. And as it is, he was spending most of his time in his room on the bed. But at that stage, he felt, you know, that the end maybe coming. So he, his stomach would get bloated, you know, with liquid. I mean, I think they were periodically removing like 5 to 7 liters. It was like really, really, they did that in India, and I think maybe even in Canada. So he was lying on his bed. It's like his deathbed. Devotees were chanting and kirtan, weeping, many of them. And so the doctor came. And so he was trying to assess Maharaj's condition. So he was like feeling around that, you know, Maharaj's bloated belly. Maharaj opened his eyes and looked at him and said, "It's a boy." So, yeah, even in the most dire of circumstances, it's not just he remained his, he maintained his sense of humor, but he was actually fearless, not afraid of death, because he knew he would be with Prabhupada, engaged in service. So Indradumya Swami came to see him and like say goodbye, and that was also sad because Maharaj knew he wouldn't see Sridhar Swami again. And Sridhar Swami was in the shower with nothing to cover him but the air. And so Indradumya Swami came in. He had to leave. He wanted to say goodbye. So Sridhar said, "Come on, Indy." Now, he used to call him Indy. There's a character, I guess a movie, it's named Indiana Jones. He was like a real adventurer. So very affectionately, Sridhar Swami would call Indradumya Swami Indy, short for Indiana Jones. But he would say, "But he's the real thing." And so he said, "Yeah, come on, Indy." And he said, "Maharaj, you're completely naked." "No, that's all right, we're not the body." So he said farewell, and Sridhar Swami said, and this is also a bit of a cultural allusion that some of us may recall. Now, there was a television show, I remember in my childhood in the 50s, called The Roy Rogers Show. He was a cowboy. And he had a theme song, which was, "Happy trails to you until we meet again." So Sridhar Swami pulled out that shloka from his his bag, and he quoted that to Indradumya Swami, which is perfect because Maharaj is always traveling. So happy trails until we meet again. We'll meet again. We'll all meet again in Prabhupada and the Panchatattva service. So it happened like that on this day, well, it was actually on Srivas Thakur's appearance day, which was yesterday here, but it's actually today in India, in Mayapur. So on this day, and that was another thing that I thought was divinely arranged, because Sridhar Swami, he wanted to live through the installation of the Panchatattva, which was on Gaur Purnima, and he didn't want to do anything that would like detract from the festival. But he said, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's festival. I don't want this to be like Sridhar Swami's festival. And so the first auspicious day after Gaur Purnima was this day, Srivas Thakur's appearance day. And on that day, he left. And coincidentally, that day was the Mahagaur Purnima festival in Laguna Beach. And in the old days, some time ago, it was a tradition that Indradumya Swami would come to stay with me the day after Gaur Purnima. And then together we would drive down for the Mahagaur Purnima festival here, which is generally the Saturday after the actual Gaur Purnima. So we had just completed the program. I'll never forget it. We were getting into our vehicle outside, and we got a phone call from Mayapur, probably from Mayapur Das in Mayapur Dham, informing us that Sridhar Swami had left. So that was, you know, that was a poignant moment. And so then Indradyumna Swami and I decided, you know, we should have like a memorial program for Sridhar Swami the next day, Sunday, which we did. And then the following morning, I think maybe Maharaj couldn't stay, but I felt we should do something in L.A. So the following morning, I went to New Dwarka, and we had a program for him then. But an amazing thing happened 3 days after he left. I was back in Santa Barbara, taking my daily walk by the sea, and suddenly I felt His Holiness Sridhar Swami's presence, like, descend upon me. It was, like, so tangible. And at least I felt that He gave me two messages. Now, I also had my doubts, like some of you might be having, but I did find some sort of confirmation later, which you might also doubt, but which I don't doubt. So, the first message was that I'm still here, don't feel sorry. And actually, he had told that to his disciples at the hotel in London. He said, after I go, don't feel sorry. You can lament for a few days, but then you should get back into your service, and you should be happy. And the second thing he said, which I thought he said, was, just be yourself and make your contribution. And, you know, I took that as a very powerful instruction that I felt is true not only for me, but I do think about it, you know. Just be yourself and make your contribution, which is really all any of us can do. And so I mentioned that to Sridhar Swami's main servant, Mayapur Das. He said, yes, that sounds like something Maharaj would say. And somehow that, I mean, nowadays we would say it went viral, but I don't know how to explain, but somehow that reached Mayapur. And Janani Vas Prabhu, the most, you know, saintly of saintly persons, completely tuned into the deities, even he quoted it, that Sridhar Swami said, just be yourself and make your own contribution. So I think that's very profound. It's like someone said, you know, like you don't, you know, you should just be yourself. Don't try to be someone else because that position's already taken. So, yeah, I mean, I do get influenced. You know, I see Vaisheshika, I want to be like him. But that position's already taken. So I can just be myself and try to make my contribution. Hare Krishna. So, Should we end here? I can speak a little about what I was going to speak from CC, but maybe we just end here. Or what do you say? I always follow the temple president. I never go wrong if I follow the temple president.
Maharaj, you should speak something that you were planning to speak to.
Okay.
I don't want you to. You were prepared something you need to tell me. Please, you speak to us.
Dear Swami, just being like the epitome of humility. So I had something else I wanted to say, but maybe I should just end here. And he was looking to me for direction. And so I mean, I know what I think, but I'll just kind of put it to all of you. Should he speak the other thing he wants to speak, or should we like have him cut him off now? What do you
guys
think?
Yes, please.
That was my feeling as well.
I was going to speak on some verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita that in a way encapsulate the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. As you probably know, every year devotees from all over Bengal would come to Jagannath Puri for the Rath Yatra and to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so there were some devotees. In fact, I think there's a quotation from one of them here, from Kuninagram. And they were householders. And for 3 years in a row, they asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, we are fallen householders, what is our duty? This is a very relevant question for all of us. I mean, they weren't really fallen, but that was the way they saw themselves. And for 3 years in a row, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the same answer, which is you should constantly chant the holy names and serve the Vaishnavas. And then every year they would inquire, how do we recognize a Vaishnava? That's a very important question, because we're told we should serve everyone, but especially Vaishnavas. And we shouldn't offend anyone, but especially not Vaishnavas. So how do we recognize a Vaishnava? So the first year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, anyone who chants the holy name of Krishna once is a Vaishnava. That means everyone here, well, of course, everyone here is a Vaishnava, but if we didn't know it, here's the proof. And then the next year, same thing. What is our duty? Chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. How do we recognize a Vaishnava? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, one who is constantly chanting the holy name is a Vaishnava. And then the next year, same question, same answer. How do we recognize a Vaishnava? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that one whose mere presence inspires others to chant is a Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada and his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada explained that in each successive year, Lord Chaitanya was describing successive stages of Vaishnavas. Kanista is chanted the name once, at least. Madhyam, he's always chanting. And Uttama, somewhat just by his presence, he inspires others to chant. But This philosophy is like so rich and so deep, it's like a mine with endless jewels. So in this first exchange, someone who chants the holy name once is a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada explains that, Lord Chaitanya also explains, that if you chant once, just once, without offense, all your sinful reactions are removed. But of course we should be careful not to commit more sins, but that's a fact. Once without offense. So I'll just read a little from this, from the first year, because it's so instructive, and it's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it's Srila Prabhupada. So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 15, text 103. Grihastha Vishaye Ami Ki Mora Sadhane Shri Mukhe Agyana Karu Prabhu Nivedi Charane. Satyaraj Khan said, "My dear Lord, being a householder and a materialistic man, I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders." So this should be our inquiry for all of us. Prabhu kahena Krishna seva Vaishnava sevana nirantara kara Krishna nama sankirtana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas." Upon hearing this, Satyaraj said, "How can I recognize a Vaishnav? Please let me know what a Vaishnav is. What are his common symptoms?" Prabhu kahe yanra muke suni ekabara Krishna namase puja shrestha sabakara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable." You all are worshipable. And is the topmost human being. You're the topmost human being. But be humble. Purport. And this, as I mentioned, Srila Prabhupada quotes his spiritual master in his purport, which shows, yeah, his humility and his respect for his spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a person who simply chants the holy name of Krishna once becomes perfect and should be regarded as a Vaishnava. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita 5. Krishna tiyasya tiritam manasa driyeta describes how to offer respects or obeisances to different classes of Vaishnavas. With such faith in the holy name, one may begin a life of Krishna consciousness. In other words, faith that if one chants the holy name once, he will gradually come to the perfectional stage. With that faith, we can begin a life of Krishna consciousness. One should accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Transcendence Himself. As the Padma Purana states, many know the verse, Nama Chintamani Krishna. The holy name of Krishna is identical with Krishna and is like a Chintamani gem, a touchstone, That name is Krishna personified in sound. And therefore, perfectly transcendental and eternally liberated from material contamination. Thus one should understand that the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Having such faith, one must continue to chant the holy name. So I won't read the rest of the purport, although it's worth reading. But the idea is this. Srila Prabhupada explains that one who has faith that the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself is a pure devotee, even though he may be a neophyte. Now this might strike us as odd, because generally we don't consider neophytes to be pure devotees or pure devotees to be neophytes. But if one has faith that the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself, he is considered to be a pure devotee. And by his association, others can become devotees. So most of us have become devotees by associating with devotees, getting a book from a devotee or meeting devotees on Harinam or at a festival. And by the association of these devotees, even if they're neophytes in the sense that they're beginners, they may not be so well versed in the philosophy, but if they have that faith in the holy name, you can become a devotee by their association, because you can give others what you have. And bhakti begins with shraddha, ado shraddha. So if someone has shraddha, faith, they can give you shraddha. And that means they can make you a devotee, because devotional service begins with shraddha. So the conclusion is that we should treasure every devotee. Every devotee is special. And serve them. And this is that's the instruction. Always chant the holy name and serve the devotees. So we should serve the devotees. And always chant the holy name. And then our pathway back to Godhead is clear. And not only can we go back to Godhead by that method, but we can take many others with us. And that's sort of the basis of the Panchatattva, to taste Krishna consciousness and to share it with others. So these festivals especially give us an opportunity, although in the spiritual sky every day is a festival. Actually, every day should be a festival. When we first came to Bombay, we were invited to a program. It's a wealthy man's house, and he'd set up the program in his garden. It was very opulent and very beautiful. And he said, "Oh, it's good you came. It's a very special day. It's a holy day." And he named a holy day that we had never heard of. So when Srila Prabhupada came, I asked him, "Srila Prabhupada, is it true that today is a holy day?" He said, "Yes. For us, every day is a holy day." Because we are Krishna servants. So, in that mood, let this perpetual festival continue. Hare Krishna.